Well, I know we don't get many Sundays like this where we go outside and we know it's going to be nice, but we've got one today, so I'll preach fast and you listen slow, and we'll make this thing work here today, but I'll try not to be too long. It's going to get hot in a few moments here, you mark my words on that. It will get hot, and so just so you know, we'll try not to keep you too long, but we are glad that you're here. I see a number of visitors. We welcome you here today. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 16, tells the story of a man crippled, can you imagine this, crippled for 38 years, held back by his own infirmity. We don't know his name. We're not told that. Jesus knew his name, knew him, but we don't know who it is. But he was by the pool of Bethesda, the Jewish Lourdes of that time. And Jesus looked upon this crippled situation, and he asked him this amazing question. He said, do you want to get well? Do you want to be well? Do you want to? That's verse 7. I remember years ago, but I haven't forgotten it. I probably never will forget it. I went to visit this man, and I said, well, how are you? And he said, well, I'm not very well in the orphanage. And he said that about 6-7 times about the orphanage. He would have got further ahead, except it wasn't for the orphanage. It was the orphanage and those people at the orphanage. I said, how long ago is this story? And he says, 40 years. 40 years. I said, you're on your mind, this is on your life? Wow. He's probably still, if he's alive, he's probably still blaming the orphanage. Somehow he couldn't go on. He couldn't, when the question came to him, do you want to be made well? It seemed to me that he was quite happy being there in that situation. So that was an example in my early days of ministry when I remember that, thinking that, because he called it the orphanage incident, and probably never moved along. The frustrated man by the pool represents a much larger company than the one finds in the hospital. You can picture him saying this, someone else goes down before me. I can never get ahead. Always somebody gets in front of me. You don't have to be lame to utter that cry if you let that work into your heart. These people, they believe that they have talent. They believe they have ambition. They have abilities. They believe they might actually have merely amounted to something, but all their lives, something or someone held them back. There was always something holding them back from going ahead and reaching their goals. There's lots of people like that in the whole world. Lots of them. Poor health, lack of formal education, bad marriage or no marriage, crushing family responsibilities, oppressive financial problems, etc., etc. And as a result of that, they've become cynics. They're everywhere. They're cynics, crying out bitterly, I never had a chance. I never had a chance. It was always somebody else got ahead. Or lapsing into sad resignation, nursing a grudge against the way they were treated unfairly and passed them by. They just feel like they're on the sideway of life, never going to get a chance, never going to reach those important goals. On a never-to-be-forgotten day, a new factor enters the lame beggar situation. So in all of this despair that would have been in his life, sitting in there for 38 years, Jesus comes. And Jesus says, do you want to be healed? That's the question, dude. It seems pointless in a way. What a cruel thing. It seems callous, almost cruel, that you'd ask the guy, do I want to be healed? How in the world did you figure that out? How does that work in your life? Well, we can imagine his reply. Do I want to be healed? Are you crazy? What do you think? I'm laying around this stinking outpatient department. I shut into the horrible living living death that's mine, living in this situation. I who know nothing about life and its strength and its fullness. You must be new here. You must be new here. Everybody, for 38 years, every day for 38 years, I have struggled. I have struggled. Every time that pool, 14,000 times, every time, every day, I pray for a cure, and every day I push back. For 38 years, I've been a victim of their selfishness and their insensitivity. And you ask me, do I want to be healed? You know, I thought, okay, fair enough, but in those 38 years, that's a long time, isn't it? Doesn't it seem like a long time to you? It's a long time. Could he not have rigged up some kind of clever Rube Goldberg device, the kind that makes the dog chase the cat and hits the cat with the paddle, and which knocks the lever and then trips your bed and flings you into the water? Yeah, that's how you could have worked. He had 38 years to think about that. Could that have worked? But no, there's no record of that. So Jesus, when he says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? I'm sure he's saying, think carefully. Think about your answer. Are you sure? I was telling you in the first service, I knew this guy. I remember him by his height. He probably was 6'5". Big guy, muscle guy. And a funny thing happened on the way to church. Funny thing happened. He was on his way. He was invited to go to a Morris Sorello healing meeting. Anybody remember Morris Sorello? Yeah. He was invited to one. Maybe it was the same one. And he went there, and Morris Sorello gave an invitation for healing, and he went forward. And he as soon as it happened, he came back. He says, God healed me. And I remember saying, God healed you? Are you sure? Pastor, are you sure God healed you? I don't know if he said, honest. He said, my back was broken. A truck had hit me. It looked like a truck could hit him, too. Big guy. And so he said, I'm healed. I said, I thank God I'm healed. Well, I thought that was wonderful. So I remember going home, and I think a couple of days went by, and he gets angry because the monthly, what he lives on is the support from the government. And they cut him off. They cut him off. And he's infuriated. How dare you cut me off with my money? That's my money. They said, well, sir, we're sorry. I'll leave his name out. He said, we're sorry, we didn't mean to be cruel or anything, but we heard that you were at a meeting, a gospel meeting, and we heard that you'd got healed. So we were happy for you, and we said, we just cut you up. You don't need it, obviously, if you're healed. And you know what he said? He said, I'm not healed, I never have been healed, and I never will be healed. Is that clear on that? Now give me the money. He preferred the security more than anything else. Wow. So, how about this man? Why was it that it took so long before he gets healed? Was he involved in idleness? Was he an idle person, maybe? People would pity him, and perhaps they would minister to him in some way. He'd become an object of charity. You know, so Jesus is making sure that he knows this is going to change. If you get healed, then it won't be the same. There won't be anybody to lift you out of the pool. There won't be anybody coming by. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? You have to look out for yourself. You end up with a welfare mentality, probably. I wrote this down, that an Eastern beggar often loses a good living by being cured. I think that's probably true on many levels. Jesus comes along in the midst of that kind of thinking, and his ministry is intensely personal. Jesus compels the man to face the truth about himself, to come to grips with the truth about who he is and what has happened in his life. Jesus compels the man to face that truth. This is always a feature of our crucial encounters with Christ. He always, always asks us to be honest. Before Christ's healing power can touch our situation, we must submit ourselves to an exercise of self-honesty. Of self-honesty. Jesus asks us frank questions, and he expects a sharp and frank answer. And so he asks the question, do you want to be well? And then he reaches out his hand and heals him. I have had situations like this. I was mentioning this in the first service. Val and I came here in 85, fall of 86, or 86. And we felt led of the Lord to come. But prior to that, maybe about the course of a year, or maybe not even quite a year, maybe about the middle of the following year, God was speaking into my heart. We hadn't heard of this church. We hadn't heard of this place at all or the people. I felt the Lord saying over and over again, Owen, do you want to go farther? I didn't even know what farther was. What's farther? I want to go further. In other words, do you want to just stay where you are? You want to stay right in that spot? Or would you like some adventures? Would you like that? Because so every time I prayed, there was that kind of a feel about, do you want to go further? Do you want to go further? Finally, I just yielded myself as much as I could, as much as I knew. Yes, Lord, I'm scared spitless, but I would like to go further. See, that's the same thing. Most of us, we're afraid to say yes. We're just afraid to. When part of us maybe want to, but part of us says, no, I don't know if I want to or not. I think I'd rather not go any further. Why don't we just stay where we are? Wouldn't it be easier? And yet, I can say this. I've been here for a lot of years. And if I would have missed this, if I would have said, no, I don't think so. It's kind of risky to me. That looks a little odd. I don't know. Imagine nut bars in there. What kind of people are they? Who are these people? Why would I go there? Why would I do it? But no, by the compelling of the Lord, I said yes. Yes to his will. Yes to his plans. Lord, do you want to go further? Because you can stay where you are. You don't have to do anything. You can stay. I love you. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. I wrote my name in the Lamb's, your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. No, you can stay where you are. As long as you want, whenever you want, you can just stay right where you are. Jesus will still love you and care for you. But it'll be better if you put your hand in my hand. It'll be better if you yield. The surprises in the Spirit will be amazing. And we look back and say, wow, that was, this had been just the best. It couldn't be any better. Be part of this church. It just couldn't be. And I'm so grateful for you. And I thank God for your lives. But it has to always, there's something adventure going on. But he will not bother you. You can just kick back a little bit, go get a coffee, sit here, because you can sit here a week after too. He'll never disturb you. But if you say, I want to go further, then the action starts. Wonderful beyond belief. The problems that this man had, what kind of problems would a man like that have? Well, the feeling of resentment towards other people. We can understand it easily enough. He said, I never made it to the water. How he must have cursed this every man for himself rat race. The troubled waters of the pool were placid compared to the seething cauldron of hatred that boiled into this. It must have been after all those years, people bypassing him. How frustrated. I'm frustrated when I'm in the grocery store. And they say, come on, just cut. Oh, he cut in. Oh, great. There's always somebody like that. What is that about us that we're always afraid someone's going to beat us to the pool? What anger, what bitterness, what resentment he must have felt towards his companions who stepped into the waters and came forth cured and restored. Because he's the only one, it sounds like he's the only one that got healed. He's the only one who stepped into the waters, or who got healed in the waters. There was someone else, verse 7. It says, not often that the source of frustration, our marriage, in our children, our promotion, whatever it would be, begins in the entire human race as a conspiracy. This is how it begins to feel, as a conspiracy ganging up against us. That is how it feels when someone else gets that job and you didn't get it. And something else happens over here and that didn't work out. These are real life issues, and at least in my mind, they certainly are. The cancer of envy and resentment. Do we feel that life has been unfairly treating us? Are we feel that we're missing out on what's important? Do we feel that life, oh, I said that. Do we feel loved for other people who have cared for us, or do we feel a bear a grudge against them because they seem to have forged ahead and grasped our coveted opportunities? And so perhaps we get angry at God, and bad things, we picture bad things happen to good people. And so all of the journey that we're on together, we take into account how he ministered to, or how he received from Jesus. Some things about the man. He does not regard Jesus as a possible healer. There's not a picture of an idea that he might be a healer, that Jesus might be a healer. He wasn't, as far as he didn't have any idea of that. Didn't know who he did in verse 13. He didn't know who Jesus was. He had no idea who Jesus was. Number two, the man was not of the stuff of which heroes are made. Verse 11 to verse 13, he puts the whole blame of the Sabbath issue on the shoulders of him who had healed him, and blames Jesus instead. He himself, of course, was not to blame. Number three, we know that there were lifestyle issues to deal with. And in verse 14, Jesus says to him, stop sinning or sin no more, but give up your sin. Wow, we didn't know that about his life. Something worse might happen to you. He said, you need to turn this thing around right there. Something worse may happen to you. We have the implications that in the man who sinned and continued in his sin, he was continuing, and so Jesus speaks quite harshly to him. Jesus speaks into his heart. And so this man who had been healed seems to have been, in some ways, a very unpleasant fellow. He wasn't that enjoyable to be around. Verse 11 and verse 15, as soon as he found out the identity of his benefactor, he betrays him to hostile authorities. And yes, that's what happened. There's no mention of faith. Not a word. Not a word. Not a mention of faith on the part of the man. His mind was solely on getting into the water. Faith, always commonly a prerequisite of healing, is not absolute necessity. But what is Jesus is not, I'm reading too many lines here. If we're content to stay where we are, Jesus will let us stay too. It's intense desire, not faith. There was no faith, but intense desire that he wanted to get into the water and have his life changed. The desire for better things must be always surging in our hearts. What is this all about? What is this story about? The story is about us stepping out, trusting the Lord that there's good things ahead. Your life that is going to have an impact on it. And I think in my own heart, my own life, I'm really excited for what I sense what God wants to do in my heart. And for yourself, you're here today, but you're here because the Lord, if you have this intense desire to please him, let him just be the Lord of your heart, Lord of your life. Never, ever be afraid that he might hurt you in some way. Jesus is incapable of that, as far as I'm concerned. But he wants to work in my life. And I was kneeling the other night, and I said, Lord, I've never been this far before. And so I'm a little scared about this. But if you will take my hand, And you will guide and direct and do that with everybody in the church. So, Lord, what kind of a trip could it be? What kind of blessing could there come out of that? All kinds of blessing. It's just, and so Jesus, when he says, do you want to go further? Yes. Do you want to be healed? Yes. Do you want to be directed? Yes. I want it all. I want whatever you have, Lord, and whatever's happening into my heart, I want it all. I'm yielding myself to you that I not miss anything. There are churches of people that have been sitting dormant, basically, I think that wouldn't be unkind, I don't think. And they haven't gone very far. They've only got to here. God's plan was that they would be out the door. That's the plan that he has for us. And yet, Christians can, oddly enough, they sit in one spot, faithfully giving their tithe, faithfully doing what they think is probably right. And if you said, are you enjoying the excitement of the Christian life? What excitement? The excitement that comes from yielding all to the Lord. Are you interested in that? And many, many people aren't. It's characteristic of the whole church. I won't pick on you. I'll pick on somebody else. But isn't it easy to get caught in a spot and stay in that spot? You know, even leaving Regina to come here 31 years ago this fall, there was a strong desire, and even the leadership there said, well, you could stay here, and you'd be much more secure. Oh, there it is. There's the word that kills you. Security. I'll be much more secure. That's what keeps me back. Right? It's what keeps me back. Security. Well, security would be nice. Every level, any level, right? Good. Okay, let's talk now. So we're talking about security. No. I think the devil offers the security. So he says, here, why don't you try this guy? Why don't you run with this for a while? And you feel secure. I remember feeling, you know, leaving Regina, whoa, my goodness, how is that going to work out? Because it made us feel insecure. Never done that before, never been here before. And yet God has had a plan. And he's got a plan, exactly what I'm saying for me, he's got a plan for you. And you can't let this security, maybe that's why the man was still in the boat, in the pool. It could well have been. He said, I tried to, but then I think that I won't, you know, like my friend who at the meetings, he was afraid that he would do better just working out of the office. You know, his life ended very, I won't even get into it, but his life ended very poorly. And there was no adventure in it whatsoever. There was none. And so my concern is that this is what we must guard. We must guard that we don't just get older. We must grow. We must be on the cutting edge of our lives where we grow and grow and grow and grow. And people come in, there's, what's that fresh smell? Oh, I know what it is. It's the smell of growth. It's people who have got their eyes planted on Jesus. And they're excited about him, and they want to serve him, and they want to be filled with the Spirit and touched by God. Because that's where the good part, you have to go deep enough to get the good stuff. You can't just stand on the shore and kind of comment on what water looks like. You have to step into the water. I think there's lots of pictures and analogies here. But you have an opportunity to do that. Actually, every opportunity. Say, Lord, am I an old Christian, or am I just old? That's the question. And not that I am old, but just in case you wondered. But the adventure. And if I was to say to you, say, what's God doing in your life? That'd be good. Ben, he would tell me if we had time for that. What's God doing in your life? What's he doing anything? What are your goals? It's only Brian Fuller here. What are your goals? What are you trusting God for? What can you see happening 5 years from now, spiritually? What would it look like? Would it be pretty exciting with all kinds of things and God using you maybe in new ways that you never saw before? Or would it be kind of same old Christian stuff that it's not that exciting. You need to have some flair. You need a dynamic that will shake me. And I think that's just pretty normal stuff what I'm saying here. But there you need that kind of a challenge in your heart and your life that you say, God, I said yes to God. I said yes to Jesus. Wow. And he assured me that we would have a path together, walking and staying close to each other and watching what he'll do. And I'd like to think, how would it be? How will it be for Brother Alvin? He's my friend and my brother. How would it be? Well, I have a feeling that it's going to be fine with him as he trusts God in his journey. We're all on a journey. That's what this is about. It has to do with people. And I was up at the hospital the other day and met a really nice person. They've got cancer. And I asked if I could pray for this individual. They don't go here. And they were open to that. And as I got into my car going back home here, made me realize, wow, is there any greater feeling than having a chance to be used of the Lord? So if Vicky in her business, she meets this person and the conversation turns spiritual, all of a sudden she's praying for somebody. Well, I'll tell you, that'll be the best part of her day. It will be the most magnificent part of her day, because that's how this works. Just that you were in the right place at the right time. And do you want to be healed, or do you want to go further? What is it you want? Well, I want what God wants. So I want you to stand, if you would. We're going to pray a prayer of dedication of our hearts. And we want to pray that you will be right in plain direction of the Lord, and that you'll feel your heart stirred. I think for Val and I, when we were in Regina, that one of the things that there was a stirring first. Something was going on. We were kind of confused a bit about it. But we saw that it was a good thing, as we were stirred in our hearts that there were some new things. And so that's what I want to pray, if I might, just to pray for you before we dismiss, and I won't keep you longer, but don't settle for an old thing. Get the fresh manna, get the good stuff, get the stuff that you can only get at certain times of the day, because that's where the excitement would happen. So, amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. There's a path. There's a journey. And you are going to bring us across the lives of people. I thank you, Lord, for these good moments when that happens, like the other day with that dear lady. Lord, it was a God thing, no doubt. And so I pray, Lord, for each one of us here. I thank you. With all of my heart, I thank you for each person who's come this morning. And I say, Father, bless them. Bless them. May the Spirit of the Lord rest upon them. May they be filled to overflowing. May the things of the Lord be resoundingly important to them. We pray, God, for intense desire. Let it be on those in the balcony. Let it be on those on the main floor. Intense desire to do the will of the Lord. We thank you, God. Lord, don't let us flounder. Let us be pressed in and move on and to do the things that you want to do, Lord. And I thank you for those things. I thank you, God, that you saved me for a purpose, as you have saved each one of us for a purpose. So bless, we pray, on this beautiful Sunday day. And I pray there will be full of serendipities, all kinds of little things that they say, here was God, and here was God, and here was God, everywhere they looked. So we'll thank you and give you praise and honor and glory. And to you, Lord, be glory. To you be glory. And I thank you, God, for what's going to happen this week. Would you bless this week? Bless this week, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Now, please join us, if you can, for a cup of coffee. I don't think there's any cold drinks, but there is coffee, and it's good. So join us if you can. We won't keep you long.